Turn with me to John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. We'll get started there. The New American Standard reads, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you, because I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I am coming again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you also will be. And you know the way where I am going." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me."
Amen.
Amen. Now, if you're a Christian and you profess to be a Christian, there are people in the world who think you're foolish and crazy for believing in God and believing in Jesus. They think you're crazy for believing that your faith is going to save you and allow you to spend eternity in heaven. It's rare that you will find someone who openly objects to that thought. They normally just say, "Well, that's what you believe, that's fine for you, but it's not for me." What you will find objections to, and what you will find that people get offended by, is the suggestion that only those who believe in Jesus Christ are those who are going to go to heaven. There's a dividing line there. Only those who believe will find salvation, that will experience eternity in a contented, joyful, peaceful state of eternal life. People will object to that. They'll get offended by that. Sadly, there are even people in the church that would get offended by that and object to that. But the thing is that it is a clear teaching of the Scripture. Amen? Look at Acts chapter 4. Hold your place there in John. We'll come back to it. But Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, reads, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." If the name of Jesus wasn't so important, if the name of Jesus didn't have power to it, why would the world, why would the devil try to diminish it? You never hear anybody say, "Oh, Hare Krishna." Right? You never hear anybody say, "Oh, Muhammad." Or, "Oh, Dalai Lama."
That's true.
Right?
Yeah.
Why is that? It's because the enemy has tried to cheapen, tried to pervert, tried to distort the name of Jesus, because the name of Jesus is the only name whereby men must be saved. There's power in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is the name that's above every name. Amen? That's why. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 5 and 6 says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." There's only one. Only one name under heaven. Amen. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, "If you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved."
Yes.
Hallelujah. Turn back to John chapter 14. We've been looking at this statement that Jesus made for this is the third week. Each component of this statement is a definite article. Both the Greek, this thing is driving me crazy today. Both the Greek and the English refer to the way, the truth, and the life. There's no possibility of translating this comment as Jesus being one way, or a truth, or one truth, or just a life. He doubles down on the idea in the fact because he emphasizes that nobody comes to God except through Jesus Christ. As we've seen and heard the past 2 weeks, Jesus didn't say that he would show us a way. He said that he is the way. The majority of religions believe that mankind has to get better and mankind has to remove the sinful, hurtful, uncaring behaviors that exist in life. And when you really get down to them, they all have a common thread, and that is that they just have to do a rinse and repeat the cycle of life until you just keep improving and you get better or you reach some sort of enlightenment. The law was written to show us how far from perfection we all are. But I think everybody in this room already knows that. Right? Jesus came to show us what a perfect life was all about. And he showed us the only way that we could remove those sinful, hurtful, and uncaring behaviors was acceptance and belief in his willing sacrifice on the cross. The shedding of his blood, his death, and his resurrection. That he is the way through belief in him to experience that contented, joyful, eternal bliss. He also didn't promise to teach us a truth. He said he is the truth. Truth is not subjective to each person's private interpretation. You ever had anybody tell you that? Well, you got your truth and I got mine. No, you don't. There's one truth. As Brother Jim stated last week, all points of view, all moral positions, all religious systems are not equally valid, and truth is not left up to the individual to define. Jesus defined the truth with his life. Because he lived a life which was consistent with the mind, the will, and the character of God. And through his life, through his death, through his resurrection, which was attested to by hundreds of people, he changed the world. He split time in two. Amen. Changed countless people's lives, and he backed up all these profound statements that we see written in the Word of God. He backed them all up. He proved them. He said, you know, you destroy this body and in 3 days I'll raise it up again, this temple. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, I came to do the Father's will. I and the Father are one. He backed all them up by being raised from the dead. Jesus was and is the embodiment of truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. As believers in Jesus Christ and believers in the God of the Bible, it is imperative that we believe that statement. Look at 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. Verse 21. This is a story, if you remember it, where Elijah had his confrontation with the prophets of Baal. And the nation of Israel was there. And in verse 21, Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. The King James says, "How long will you halt between two opinions?" Amen? That word halt means to hop, to skip over, to hesitate. You can't dance around the issue of eternal salvation as if there's not a definitive answer in the fear of offending someone. We live in a society that gets offended over everything. Amen? We do. If you talk about Jesus being the only way, well, you're intolerant. No, I'm just telling you the truth. Amen? We can't force our beliefs on anyone. Each person has to make a decision as to what they believe. But we, as the church, can't be like the nation of Israel and sit by and not say anything. Amen? He said, if God is God, follow him. If Baal's Baal, follow him. He was saying, make a choice. Amen? There's a choice to make if you are a follower of God. It's not okay for those who profess to be believers in Jesus Christ, those who claim to believe in the Bible, to align themselves with those who think that there's other ways to go to heaven. You might say, well, that's kind of narrow-minded and narrow-scoped and harsh, Pastor Will. You know, the only thing that's going to get those people that you say, well, you just believe whatever you want, I don't want to offend you. The only thing that's going to get them is an eternity in hell. And the only thing that's going to get you is you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ someday and answer for that. You may be saved, you may be going to heaven, but you're not going to stand before the great white throne judgment. But you know, each and every one of us in here is going to stand before the man someday. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Why didn't you tell them the truth? I didn't want to offend them. Guess what? Pastor Will's not going to be there with you. Brother Jim's not going to be there with you. Clint's not going to be there with you. Your grandma's not going to be there with you. You're going to stand before the man someday. And you're going to answer for what you did with the gifts that he placed within you, that he made at your disposal. Amen? I don't want to stand before and say I didn't tell them because I was afraid of offending them. Right? Just like Elijah said, either decide in your mind that Jesus is who he is and that he did what the Bible says he did and he came to do what the Bible says he came to do, and the Bible is your only authority on the subject, or believe something else. That may be harsh, but that's just the truth. If you're listening to this on the podcast, that's the truth. Amen? I'm just telling you, that's just the way it is. Jesus is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. Amen. He is the only way, He is the only truth, and He is the only life. People make up all kinds of things, make up all kinds of doctrines. Don't want to do that. Amen? This morning, we're going to finish up this short series. That was just my introduction. Praise the Lord. Looking at the statement that Jesus said that He is the life. Now, the word life in the Greek is the word Zoe. Z-O-E. And the outline of biblical usage, it's what they use in the Blue Letter Bible and a lot of other things online, talks about Zoe is the absolute fullness of life, both essential and ethical, which belongs to God. Zoe life is life real and genuine. It's a life active and vigorous, devoted to God. Blessed in proportion even in this world of those who put their trust in Christ. And after the resurrection, to be consummated by new accessions, among them a new perfect body. Praise the Lord. You'll have that new back, Arnie.
Amen.
Be able to do whatever you want.
Yes.
Amen. In the Word of God, the word Zoe is used 134 times in 126 verses. And it's used in two distinct ways. One is talking about eternal life, and the other is talking about the type of life and the quality of life a believer can have here on the earth before they go to heaven. The life that Jesus proclaimed that He was the embodiment of includes both. Look at 1 John 1:1. 1 John 1:1. Hallelujah. All these scriptures use the word Zoe, and we're just going to look at a few. We're not going to look at all 126 of them this morning. We're going to look at maybe 7 or 8 of them. 1 John 1:1 says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, the word of life." It's King James Version. The New Living Translation reads, "We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have seen and heard. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life." Jesus Christ, the word made flesh. John Phillips it describes it like this. The word. Thoughts remain invisible and inaudible until they are clothed in words. With words, what we think and feel and are can be known. And just as our words reveal us, so too the Lord Jesus, as the word of life, clothes and reveals the great thoughts and feelings of God regarding our sin and our salvation. Jesus was the embodiment of God's thoughts towards us. Jesus was the embodiment of God's words toward us. Amen. Everything that he was the embodiment of God. The life that he lived through the power of God. Amen. Wiest, in his word study, writes that Zoe speaks of life in the sense of one who is possessed of vitality and animation. It is used of the absolute fullness of life, both essential and ethical, which belongs to God. And it is used to designate the life which God gives to the believing sinner. A vital, animating, spiritual, ethical dynamic which transforms his inner being, and as a result, his behavior. When you made Jesus the Lord of your life, the very life of God, the energizing Zoe life of God was put into you. See, people live all kinds of lives, right? What was your life before you came to Jesus? A mess. A lot of us can say our life was a mess. When Jesus came in and the Holy Spirit came in, the Holy Spirit brought that life of God to dwell on the inside of you. That animating, that energizing, active, vital life. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. The Phillips translation. Reads like this. Verses 1 through 4. We are writing to you about something that which has always existed, yet which we ourselves actually saw and heard. Something which we had an opportunity to observe closely and even to hold in our hands, and yet, as we know now, was something of the very Word of Life Himself. For it was life which appeared before us. We saw it, we are eyewitnesses of it, and are now writing to you about it. It was the very life of all ages, the life that has always existed with the Father, which actually became visible in person to us mortal men. We repeat, we really saw and heard what we are now writing to you about. We want you to be with us in this fellowship with the Father and Jesus Christ, His Son. We must write and tell you about it, because the more that fellowship extends, the greater joy it brings to us who are already in it. Jesus was the embodiment of the life of God here on the earth. And He brought that life, and then He wanted to share it with us. Amen? Look at Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. The embodiment of life. John said, we've seen the life. The energized, vital, awesome life that Jesus lived. There was something different about Him. Amen? People recognized it and knew it. Romans 6:4 says, therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also, or we also should walk in newness of life. Hallelujah. We should walk, or might walk, some translations say. That word literally means to walk around, to tread all around. It refers to your manner of life, your habitual way that you live. He says you should walk in the newness of life. When Jesus comes into your life, when you make Jesus the Lord of your life, things should change. Amen. Amen? The word newness here, you should walk in the newness of Zoe. The newness is the word kenotes. In a sense, it brings into the world a new, listen to this, a new quality of thing which did not exist before. Hallelujah. It's not just a renewal, not simply an experience similar to the past, but a qualitatively different one. One that's new in quality and character. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I am the life. I am the Zoe life. I'm the one that's going to energize you. I'm the one that's going to change you. Amen? Praise the Lord. You're going to walk in that newness of life, a completely different life than you had before.
Praise God.
Some of us can really attest to that. Amen? That God changed us, made us completely new. It's the life every believer now has the potential to walk in. It's a life of a brand new kind. New because now that you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, you're in union with Jesus and you're identified as one as His. We are to walk in the newness of life. We're to live habitually in that. Amen. It's not just a one-time experience when you get saved and then you just go on. Amen. Just hold out till you make it to heaven. Jesus said, no. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Paul tells us here that we are to walk in the newness of life. We should walk in the newness of life. The choice is ours. Amen. We can remain old, stuck in the mud, sad face, depressed, whatever, but that's not the life of God that God made for you, and that's not the life of God that Jesus brought for you. There should be joy. There should be peace. There should be contentment. Amen? Should have all those things energized by the power of God dwelling on the inside of you. That Zoe life that was imparted to you and implanted in you. And you just need to learn to walk it out. Is everybody every day going to be great? No. You going to have people that frustrate you? Oh yeah. Amen. But the thing is you don't have to stay there. Amen? You can say, no, I know where this is coming from. I know what happened. Praise God, I don't have to live like that anymore. Praise God, my God is an awesome God. Amen? And my God has redeemed me and He set me free. And I'm not going to let this little thing get me down. I'm just going to praise God. I'm just going to let that power, that joy on the inside of me begin to well up and just begin to praise God. If you got to go to the bathroom, if you got to go outside, whatever you got to do, go to your car or break and just worship God. Get the junk off of you. Amen? Amen. You got to do it. We should walk in that quality of life that did not exist before. This newness of life is not just limited to that point in time when you surrendered your life to Jesus. We are to walk in it and experience it every day. Jesus said, He is the life. He modeled and demonstrated what this new life was to be. That's why the apostles had such an impact on people. They weren't super anointed more than anybody else. They didn't have any more of the Holy Ghost than we can have. They lived with Jesus. They saw Him. John says we touched Him. They were around Him day and night. And they seen what the life of God was to be. And it changed them. It's the same way if you're around somebody that's full of the life of God, it will change you. If you're around people that are all down in the dumps all the time, the prophets of doom, whatever it may be, the world's going to hell in a handbasket, we just need to forget about them. Amen? You're going to be the same way.
Amen.
We're not called to live like that. We're called to live the Zoe life, the good life. Amen? A life of joy, a life of peace. Jesus demonstrated that. He lived a life in close relationship with His Father, doing the things that His Father wanted him to do, treating and loving people the way his Father wanted him to, being led by the Spirit of God, operating in the power of God, and producing the fruit of the Spirit. That is the life that is available to each and every one of us.
Yes, amen.
A life that has to become your new lifestyle. Amen? Says you should walk in it. Amen? Doesn't mean everybody's automatically going to. We should walk in it. Look at John 8. John 8. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. John 8, 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but he shall have, the light of life. Or the light of Zoe. Same word. No longer do you have to walk around and live your life in darkness, in confusion, questioning if this is all there is to life. You don't have to walk around bound by your past, bound by your sicknesses, bound by your insecurities. He brings light and life and changes our daily struggles into victories. Amen?
Yes.
Jesus met the woman at the well in Samaria and led her to a whole new life, freeing her from her past. He healed the man at the pool of Bethesda, and helped him to walk away from a life of sickness and frustration and disappointment. Jesus met the man at Gadarene and gave him a completely new quality of life. He restored his sanity and changed his life, his purpose, and his destiny. He met the woman with the issue of blood. And by healing and restoring her health, he also restored her dignity and her place in society. No matter where you're at, no matter where people are at, no matter what situation they're in, no matter what chains has them bound, no matter what the enemy has kept them imprisoned in, Jesus and the Zoe life can set them free. A whole new life. Everyone that he met, everyone that Jesus ministered to, everyone who followed after him, he gave him the opportunity to have a new life. Amen? His life puts purpose behind our life. His life turns our insignificance into significance. Jesus says that you have worth, that you're not an accident. Your difficulties and your circumstances do not have to conquer you or dominate you. You can dominate them. Seemed like we heard that already this morning. He gives you creative energy to handle whatever comes your way. Amen. As a believer in Jesus, there's a new quality of life available to you, a new perspective. Amen. A life with purpose and a life that can be filled with joy and peace and contentment. John 10:10, Jesus said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy." He says, "I have come that they might have life," or Zoe, "and they might have it more abundantly." Hallelujah. The word abundant is the word perisos. It means superabundant or superior in quantity and quality. Exceedingly abundantly above, more abundantly, beyond measure. This scripture is talking about this lifetime, not the next. The thief's not going to be able to steal, kill, and destroy in the next life. It's only in this lifetime, in this physical realm. And Jesus tells all those who will listen that the enemy may have stolen and destroyed things in your life, and he's even trying to take you out. But Jesus says, I've come to change all that and make it possible for you to walk in the abundant life. Amen. We can trust him with our lives and the provision that he's made for us. He's saying, just trust me. Things will be different. Things will change. He promises to give you that abundant life, a new quality of life, because of grace and because of righteousness. Amen. Hallelujah. He says in Romans 5:17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive an abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one. It's the same word, Zoe. You are to reign in Zoe life. Hallelujah. You're not to be reigned over. You're not to have things dominate you and keep you down. You are to reign in life. Hallelujah. The other aspect of Jesus being the life is eternity. Jesus not only came with the promise of a new life in the here and now, he came with the promise of eternal life. People have sought immortality for thousands of years. We had groups that sailed across the ocean looking for the fountain of youth. Got people that have considered, maybe they even have, we just don't know about it, freeze themselves. Freeze their body and all that so that when they discover some cure for what ailed them or what killed them, they can bring them back. Jesus said, he is the way to eternal life. Amen. He's the only way. By believing and trusting in him, he promised that you would have eternal life. The big mistake that many make is that they view eternal life as starting when they die. But the truth of the matter is that as a believer in Jesus Christ, your eternal life began the moment that you made Jesus the Lord of your life. Amen. It is our current possession. Look at John 3:36. John 3:36 says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Has is present tense. Amen? You have it now, or eternal life. It's everlasting. John 5:24 says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life. And John 6:47 says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. The focus of our eternal life is not on our future, but it's our current standing in Jesus Christ. Someday all of us are going to pass from this physical realm that we know into a spiritual realm. The thing is, we're just going to transition from a reality that we know to a reality that we hope to know. That exists, we may not see it, but it's still there whether we see it or not. Amen? We don't cease to exist and then start over again. Amen? We move from one place of consciousness to another. And once we make that transition, we will never experience another transition for eternity. Hallelujah. That's good news. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting Zoe," or life. It's not just an everlasting existence. It's not just as some religions being reincarnated over and over again, moving from one state of consciousness to another. No, it's everlasting Zoe. Hallelujah. It's a continuation of the blessed life, and it's completely consummated when we receive that perfect body, one that looks like, you know, Hercules or whatever for the guys, if that's your view, or somebody, that body that never wears out. You won't have to have knee replacement. You won't have to have surgery. You won't have to do all those things. You'll have that body that will last for eternity. Glory to God. And we're going to be in the presence of Almighty God for eternity. Amen. John 20, verse 31, and we'll close with this. Turn there if you would. You should be there in John, but turn over a few chapters. John chapter 20. Verse 30 says, "Many other signs therefore Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name," or Zoe, life in his name. Hallelujah. Jesus is the way, Jesus is the truth, and Jesus is the life. Amen. And we can rejoice in that fact. We can take solace in that fact. That we can live the good life now. We can live the abundant life now. Amen. We can live a life of joy and peace and contentment and walk in forgiveness and walk in all those things that Jesus demonstrated to us. And then, someday, when this old body finally says it's done, we pass and get a new body. Amen? Our spirit man will leave and take up residence somewhere else. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father God, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the Zoe life that you've blessed us with, Lord. We thank you for peace and contentment and joy. And it's my prayer that everyone in here is just living that best life that we can because of who we are in Christ and who we've identified. And Lord, that each of us will continue to grow in that, continue to grow in our knowledge of you, our knowledge of Jesus, and continue to be conformed into the image of your dear Son, living out that Zoe life here on the earth and looking forward to that Zoe life for eternity. We just thank you for that, praise you for that, give you all the glory for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.